World-renowned violist Kim Kashkashian has just released an album of the 6 Bach cello suites, obviously played on her viola, and she's here to talk with us about that today. Kim, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me with you.
Now, I've read that you've described Bach as a true and faithful companion, which I think a lot of people can relate to, but also as a reference point from which all creative endeavor can be measured. Can you expand on that idea?
That is a very subjective, personal to me, point of view based on my experience, which is that working with any composition of Bach is probably, because it is so universal, both subjectively and objectively, you see a fantastic structure and architecture that couldn't be more pure and more perfect. And you can see that every little cell of the structure is complete in and of itself, and the entire thing is perfect. And I take that to be actually a great life lesson. If one can attempt to live life that way and to keep that kind of balance in artistic endeavors, in communications with other people, in how you walk and move on the street, all of those things, I can't think of any greater example to follow than the music of Bach.
Now, the suites were originally written for the cello, of course. How does the music differ when you play it on the viola?
Purely concretely, it differs in that it's an octave higher. Same key, same range, same relationships, but everything is an octave higher. So what that does subjectively is certain of the suites, because of their key, are perhaps seen in a more focused light with the lightness and energy of the higher octaves. And then other suites possibly are missing some of the deep, low resonance and meditative quality that's available to a cello in the low range. So you gain something and you lose something, which is what every good transcription actually has. It's not a good transcription if you haven't gained something by making it.
Do you feel the difference emotionally in playing the pieces on the viola in some of those than you would listening to them in the cello?
Well, I will only say that I feel that the fourth suite, the E flat suite, is never quite complete without the low bass, cello bass, in the prelude. But that's purely a question of resonance, not a question of interpretation. So other than that, also for 40 or, I hate to say it, at least 40 years, I have been teaching these pieces as well as working on them myself. So I'm rather viola-oriented. It almost feels like an unusual trip down an unmarked road when I hear them on the cello.
Now, you're using a special viola for the D major suite, is that right?
That is right. The sixth suite was written for the violoncello piccolo, which had 5 strings. And in an attempt to reproduce the entire range of this music, I chose to play it on a 5-string viola. So I'm imitating the original intention here more than a cellist who plays it on a 4-string cello. Although they can play all the notes, it's not the same as having a high E string, because the high E string is more relaxed than going way, way, way up into thumb position. So in a way, this 5-string viola approach is closer to the original intention.
It takes maybe a little of the tension out of playing that string so much higher?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that is very interesting. I've heard that it's extremely difficult, and that's why that extra string helps a lot.
Yeah, well, if we can define the difficulty, it's like when you get to the top of a mountain, the air is thinner, right? And when you get to the top of the cello, the air slash sound is not necessarily thinner, but it's more tense and intense because the string length is so short. So if a cello were to have that high E string instead, they would have the resonance of having a bigger string length lower down on the string. It's hard to explain.
But we'll listen to the piece and that'll illustrate maybe some of it.
Yeah. I think also, you know, having an E string for someone like me or any violist is an interesting aspect. And there are other pieces that would also benefit from having an E string. So I'm thinking that that's a very useful instrument, that five-string viola.
Sure. Now, is it physically awkward for you to have another string where there was not one before?
It takes some mental juggling because suddenly there's a string right in the middle that you didn't have. And you're used to having the top string as the A string, and it's not. So, yeah, some what I would call neuromuscular rewiring has to happen in order to do it well, yeah.
So we'll hear these pieces. It'll be a new chance to hear the cello pieces warmed differently or with a different character with this music. I wonder if you can just tell me, I'm very interested in your charity, Music for Food.
I'm happy to speak about Music for Food. This is, we've existed for 10 years now, and it's a musicians collective, basically. And the project is to perform concerts, to volunteer to perform concerts, and invite the audience to donate to a local food pantry, either in the place where the musicians are at home or in the place where they're performing. So that we are attempting to build community, a three-way energy cycle between the musicians, the audience, and then the audience to the food pantry, and the food pantry back to the musicians. So we also send our young musicians into the food pantries to play for a clientele that doesn't normally get into a concert hall. What we've discovered is that there are hidden benefits to this operation, which is that the musicians feel empowered, that they're actually doing something that has a concrete result. After the concert, they can say, you know what, you, together with the audience, have created 3,524 meals for this food pantry, and the food pantry representative can stand there and say, you know what? These meals we're going to use during Thanksgiving week. This is exactly what we need. Or conversely, we can say, the audience has raised this many dollars and the food pantry is going to take those dollars and, with our permission, buy a refrigerator, which will mean that for the future, they can offer fresh products to their clients. This happened in our first year in Philadelphia, and it was one of the most moving occasions because the pantry representative came back to the second Music for Food concert and said, you guys, this is what you've done. You've given us the chance to offer fresh food, not just cans and pasta, to our clients. So the second concert, we did even better, and that way they could raise even more meals.
Oh, that is fantastic, and using art for such a concrete, immediate need. I wish you all the best with that endeavor. That's incredible.
Thank you very much. We've now started chapters in a lot of cities. We, of course, started in Boston. We now have chapters in Philadelphia, New York, Cleveland, Cincinnati, San Francisco, Lawrence University, Pittsburgh. It's very interesting what's happening because musicians want to do this. They want to volunteer. And the audience wants to be engaged in an active way, not just to receive the music, but to literally give something back.
Thank you so much, Kim Kashkashian. Again, the best with that endeavor. And thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And now let's listen to Kim Kashkashian's rendition of that tricky suite in D that requires the extra viola string. Here are the first two movements, the Prelude and Allemande.
Mm-hmm.